This is ProBlogger.
Hi there, welcome to episode 207 of the ProBlogger podcast. My name is Darren Rouse and I'm the blogger and the podcaster behind ProBlogger.com, a site that's really dedicated to helping you to start great blogs to serve your readers and to build profit around them. You can learn more about what we do at ProBlogger, including our events upcoming in Dallas over at ProBlogger.com. Now, today I want to take you on a tour of my iPhone and iPad and talk about the apps that I use most in my blogging and online business activities. One of the biggest changes that has happened in my blogging since I began back in 2002 is the technology that I use. The early days, it was all done purely through my desktop PC, a very, very old machine, and dial-up internet. So obviously things have changed since then. I'm not on dial-up anymore, thank goodness. Things back then were so simple. I really had no tools apart from the fact that I had that computer and I did everything through Blogger because that was the platform that I set up on. And everything that went onto my blog was written directly into Blogger. I didn't have any images. I didn't have any videos because that was just not possible on the machine that I used, which really could not handle anything much more than text. And also my internet speed was so slow and there just weren't any other tools to really edit that video or even edit images. There was no such thing as text overlay really going on in blogging back then. But since that time, a lot has changed. For me, it really started with an upgrade of computers. I bought myself a first little iBook, one of those little white iBooks, with some of my first earnings on my blog. I saved up a few months worth, and actually it was probably 6 months worth, and bought that iBook. Then I upgraded to ADSL internet. I also remember getting, around that time, getting my first phone, which I think was a Nokia from memory, that allowed me to go online. It was kind of this amazing thing to be able to get online. It had its own little browser built into it on this tiny little screen. And I remember looking at my blog for the first time on a phone. And I remember thinking, this is just unbelievable that I can read blogs on my phone. Of course, it took me 10 minutes just to get it uploaded onto my site because the internet was so slow. There was no Wi-Fi. It was all being done through the 3G or the 2G or whatever it was at the time. And then I thought to myself, well, what would it be like if I try and log into the back end of my blog? And it took me an hour to work out how to do it on this little phone. I had to input everything by the buttons. There was no touchscreen on the phone. So it was very, very basic. But I remember eventually being able to log into the back end and edit a spelling mistake on my on a blog post. Which I'd seen. So, and I thought this was amazing. This was a game changer for me because I thought now I will be able to edit my blog from the road if I was traveling. Of course, I never really did that because it did take so much time to make those sort of edits. It was all done through that keypad. But I could see that things were changing and I began to dream about the fact that maybe one day we would have technology to be able to do this more easily. Of course, 2007 came around and that changed everything. We have iPhones in our pockets. And when that first iPhone was released, I began to realize that life was about to change for bloggers. We had higher resolution screens where you could actually see what was going on a web browser, touch screens instead of buttons, and then these things called apps that at the time were pretty basic and couldn't really do a lot, but I could see that this was going to change everything. Now, I'm not sure how many iPhones I've had since 2007. It's probably been one a year almost, maybe not quite. But apart from one 12-month period where I tried an Android, I got a Samsung, I've stuck to Apple products for most of that time. I've also had a few iPads over the years, although I've never actually bought any of them. I managed to win most of them or all of them as an affiliate in affiliate competitions. My first iPads, though, were used more for entertainment, reading Kindle books and watching movies, playing games. But over the last 6 months, I've actually started to use my iPad. I've got an iPad Pro. I won it. 10.5-inch screen, and I'm starting to realize that it is a device that is now starting to replace some of the things that I used to do on my notebook computer, particularly when I'm traveling. So today what I want to do is really talk about some of the smartphone and tablet apps that I use most regularly. they are changing our lives as bloggers, and I'm getting asked quite regularly, what apps do I use? And some of the discussions we've had over in the Facebook group over the last few months show me that you are interested in talking about this too. Now, of course, I want to say right up front, I am an Apple user, so all the apps I'm going to talk about today are iOS specific, although quite a few of them also do have Android versions as well. It's also worth noting that increasingly I'm using apps on my devices, my phone and my tablet, that allow me to sync up with what I'm doing on my computers. And this is one of the other big changes that's massively happened over the last 10 or so years, is cloud computing, which enable us to start doing something on one device and end up doing it on another. And so that'll be a theme in today's show as well. Now, you can find today's show notes, where I'll list and link to all of the apps that I mention. You can go to problogger.com/podcast/207. You can follow along there and check out the apps that I mentioned. Also, there is a couple of really good discussions going on in our Facebook group, which I will link to on the show notes as well. One of them where we talk about our favorite apps from a month or so ago, and then also a more recent discussion in where we talk about the apps we use to take notes. And there's been quite a robust discussion on that front as well. So let's get into today's show, and I'm going to take you through some of the apps on my phone.
Creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is Pro Blogger.
Okay, what I've done in going through these apps is to try and classify them into different types of apps. So I want to start off by talking about productivity and planning apps. There is a little bit of overlap. Some of these apps probably fit into two different categories, but bear with me. I thought it might help give a bit of structure to the show today. So the first category, productivity planning, and one of the apps that I love is Wunderlist. And this is a to-do list type app. And it's a little bit heavier than, more feature rich than some of the other to-do lists that I've come across. It allows me to have different categories in my to-do list. So I'm looking at my phone right now, and I have a category that's for personal, for family. So that's where I put all my shopping lists and all of those types of things. Then I have a list for our events. And that's where in the lead up to our events, I was putting all specific things for the events. I've got a list there for DPS, a list there for ProBlogger. So I'm able to categorize those lists, but it also allows me to see all the things on my to-do lists, which allows me to kind of get the big picture, the fire hose type list of all the things that I need to do. Now, each of the to-do items, you can just have no date. It could just be something you need to do once and it doesn't really matter, or you can set yourself a reminder and deadlines as well. So once you do set those deadlines, you can look at the full list and see what you need to do today. And this really does help to I guess, get those things done. You can also share your lists with other people. Not that I use that. You can email yourself tasks. And for each of the items on your list, you can also add notes and comments. And I love that as well, because I will set myself, the task to write a blog post, but I can also begin to outline that blog post in the note that's associated with that task. Now, Wunderlist sits on my iPhone. It also syncs with the app that I put on my iPad. And also, there are apps for my computers. And I love this, that I can have all of that in the one place. And so this is something that I use every day. It's very handy for me, and it's something I really can't imagine living without in many ways. Another productivity and planning kind of app that I use is Notes. I use actually the Apple Notes app that came with my iPhone. And this has been the subject of a lot of discussion in our Facebook group at the moment. I actually started a thread, which I'll link to on today's show notes, asking people what they use, because I'm not completely satisfied with Notes. I used to be an Evernote user, but because I'm using four devices, two computers and a phone and a tablet, that changed, I guess, 6 or so months ago when Evernote changed their pricing model. And I'm a bit cheap, and I'm reluctant to pay for a notes app. For me, it's not something that I feel the need to pay for, although because I'm not satisfied with any of the other apps that I've tried that are free, maybe I do need to go back to Evernote. Apple, in their new version of iOS, iOS 11, have said there's some changes coming with notes, particularly on the iPad, which allow you to draw and that type of thing. So I'm going to stick with it for a little bit longer just to see how those changes impact the app, but I may need to go back to Evernote as well. I will say, as an aside, some other note taking apps that I've tried recently. There's one called Bear, which is I like a lot. It's a markup-based app, though. So you actually see the markup code in your notes. And for me, that kind of clutters the note a little bit, and it wasn't an intuitive kind of experience, although I did like the way the app looked. Simple Note is another one that many in our group have been saying that they love. For me, it feels a little bit too simple and just didn't quite work for me as well. Awesome Note is the other one, and I really liked Awesome Note when I tried it, but it doesn't have a computer version. And to do anything with it on the computer, you have to use Evernote, which is a bit of a pain. So, and the last one that a number of people have been recommending to me is OneNote, and that's Microsoft's note app. And it is feature-rich, but it, to me, just doesn't look nice. It's a bit clunky and a bit corporate-y. So I'm a bit fussy, and this is probably the only app that I'm still looking for the perfect fit for me. So I'll move on from note-taking apps. If you've got a suggestion, feel free to add it in the Facebook group.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
Another app that fits into this productivity area is an app called MindNode, which I have mentioned before on the podcast in the app, the episode where I talked about mind mapping. MindNode is a tool that enables me to create mind maps, and I love the visual maps that it creates. Very clean, very easy to use. Again, it works on my computer, works on my iPad, works on my phone, and through iCloud, it syncs together so I can see all my mind maps on all my devices. The last app that I'll talk about when it comes to productivity is my calendar app, and I actually use Fantastical 2, it's called. It's from a company called FlexiBits, and it's a calendar app. Now, for many years, I actually used Apple's native calendar app, which is called Calendar, and I quite like that, but Fantastical 2 does give me some different options that I really like. I love that I can add in new events very intuitively. I can actually type in meeting with Lainey at 2 p.m., and it actually puts it in at 2 p.m. I don't have to then click something and say 2 p.m., and just adding in the events is easier. I also like it has a view that allows me to see everything that's upcoming. It also has something on my computer that allows me, a little icon in the top menu bar, which allows me to click it. I'm clicking it right now, and from that, a little pop-up appears where I can either add something, I can see my upcoming things, and it's just a cool little tool. And I wish Apple's calendar allowed me to do that type of thing. So for me, it is a paid tool, but again, it syncs across all my devices. There's an app on my iPad, an app on my iPhone, and an app on my computer, and it really does work beautifully. Syncs in with Google calendars, Apple's calendars, those types of things as well. So if you already have calendars in different places, you can just use this app to pull in those calendars. So they're four apps that I use for productivity. The next category I want to talk about is analytics. And probably the app that I use the most on my phone as it pertains to my blogging, apart from Gmail, I think I'm probably in Gmail more, the second most would be Google Analytics. And if you haven't got this on your iPhone yet, you probably need to get it. It allows you to get a lot of the stats from Google Analytics that you would get from accessing it on your computer. It doesn't give you everything. You can't dig in as deep. But the thing that I use it for is real-time stats. And I can click the app on my phone, and within seconds, I can see how many people are on my site right now. So I just clicked it now, and I can see that there's 300 people in digital photography school viewing now. And I can actually dig in and see, where are they? I can see things like where they're coming from, the source of those readers. I can look at any keywords that they might have used to get in there. And it does allow me to see quite a bit. I can also dig into the main categories of Google Analytics, your audience, your acquisition, your behavior. It, as I said, it doesn't allow you to really dig in as deep as you can on your computer. But for that type of stuff where you want to just see what's happening on your site today, it gives you enough information allows me to, I guess, see if there's a problem on my site. And I probably would check in on Google Analytics on my phone 10 times during the day. Just a really quick check. It's a health check. Is everything okay? It's okay, I move on. I'm not digging in too deep, but it's just good to know. And previous to this, there would be times where I wouldn't even know that my site had gone down or that there maybe there was an issue on my site because an alert that I might have set up didn't come through. So it does really allow me to get a sense of the health of my site. The other app that I would put into this analytics category, it probably also would fit into a monetization category, is AdSense. There's an app that allows me to check in on my AdSense earnings. Again, in a similar way to Google Analytics, it's more of a health check for me. In the past, there have been days where there's been a problem with my AdSense ads on Digital Photography School, and I wouldn't know that there was a problem until the next day when I happened to check my my AdSense stats on my computer. I'm not checking it all day, every day on my computer, but just to know that I can check in at any time during the day, I have a sense of how much my AdSense should be at any given time of the day. So I'm looking in there now, and I can see the total of the day so far is about normal, and so everything's okay. It allows me, I guess, to find those problems a little bit more easily as well. So there are two apps that I would put into the sort of analytics category.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
The next category I want to talk about is content. And of course, there's different types of content. So I'll kind of go through a few different types that I create on my phone. The first one is the CoSchedule app. I'm not going to talk too much about CoSchedule because we did our whole episode on this just a few episodes ago in episode 195. We use CoSchedule on ProBlogger as an editorial calendar, and also for social sharing as well, and enables us to do some of that on the phone. Now, I have to say, I don't use it a great deal on my iPhone. It is a little bit bitsy, but on my iPad, I use it a bit. And it is nice to know that I can go into the back end of my blog and edit posts and schedule posts and that type of thing through the CoSchedule app as well. It's not something I would use every day, but it's good to have it there when I need it. One app that I do use every day when it comes to content is Adobe Spark Post. Adobe Spark is, again, it's something we've mentioned a couple of times in the past. Adobe Spark's a great tool, and in fact, it's a series of tools. There's three, I think. Adobe Spark Post, Adobe Spark Page, and Adobe Spark Video. I use the Post one a lot, and I use it to create social graphics and text overlay type images for blog posts as well. I love using this app on my iPad especially. It's nice on the iPhone, but having that extra screen size on the iPad, it's just gorgeous. And the images that it allows you to create are fantastic. It's a free app. I think you can pay to get Adobe, get a Creative Cloud account, which does give you a few more features. But really, it's amazing what it allows you to do. The quality of the images that it allows is just amazing. You can bring in your own images to use as in a collage, but there's also some free images in there that you can use. And some of the images that are in that free library are pretty cool as well. So I'm using Adobe Spark Post a lot. I have also used the Adobe Spark Video app. This allows you to create short little videos that you might want to share on social media as well. It's similar in some ways to the app that I talked about a few episodes ago, Lumen 5, but it allows you to bring in your own audio clips as well. So you could use it if you've got a podcast, you could bring in some of your audio and then put some images over the top of that as a teaser for your podcast. podcast as well. So Adobe Spark, Post and Video. They do have another one called Page, but it's not something that I really need to use at all because it creates a little website for you, and really I don't have any need for using that one. Another one that I would use in the content section, or two that I would use in the content section, are for image editing. I use Snapseed and Lightroom, another Adobe Lightroom, another app that you can use for editing your photos. It's actually the tool that I use on my desktop to edit my real photos. I use that regularly on my desktop, but also would occasionally edit photos on my phone using the Lightroom app. And Snapseed is the other one. I love Snapseed. It's a Google product. They bought it a year or two ago now. I used to pay for it, and then Google made it free. So it's a free tool that you can use. And for me, it's just very good for any editing of the images that you've got. Touching them up, adding a vignette, those types of things. You can do a little bit more on that than you could do through Instagram itself. And the last one I put into the content section is Google Drive. We, as a team, share most of our documents on Google Drive. We, whether that's word processing documents, spreadsheets, most of that goes onto Google Drive as a team, and to be able to access that on the go from my phone or iPad is great. I do use it to write blog posts into, particularly now that CoSchedule and Google Drive or Google Documents work quite well together. It's just a seamless kind of way to write blog posts. I don't write blog posts on my iPhone, but I do on my iPad. I've got a keyboard for that as well. So if I'm writing something on my iPad, it goes into a Google Doc.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is Pro Blogger.
Okay, the next category that I talk about is social media. Now, there are so many apps that you can use for your social media, for scheduling, updating social media, but what I actually do mostly is use the native apps to do my updating. And I know, and I'll talk about some of these a little bit later. When I asked in the Facebook group what apps people use, some people were using apps like, there's one called Tailwind and Later, which allow you to schedule posts on Instagram and Pinterest. I tend to, if I'm putting something on Pinterest or something onto Instagram, I tend to use the Instagram app and the Pinterest app, probably because I'm not scheduling too much into those spaces. I use the Facebook app for updating into Facebook. I use Facebook Pages as well to update into my pages. I use Twitter, the native Twitter app. I use the native Instagram app. So I don't really have anything to share with you on that front. That's going to be too groundbreaking, I have to say, but I'll mention a couple of the other apps that other people use later. Communications would be the other category that I want to talk about. We use Slack as a team for all our day-to-day chat. Amongst ourselves as a team. We have a team area set up for ProBlogger, for those in my business who are working on the ProBlogger side of the business, and another team area for Digital Photography School. And within each of those team areas, we have channels for specific aspects of the business. So in the Digital Photography School team area, there's a channel for development, where our developer is in there, Lainey, who manages Digital Photography School's in there, and anyone else that's a part of the business that's relevant to be in that area sees those messages. We have an editorial channel as well. So our editor, Darlene, is in there, myself, and anyone else that's relevant to that. We have a marketing channel, which is just for those who need to see those sorts of messages. So it allows us to have different chats going at any one time and not annoy everyone. It's not like we just have a Facebook group for all of our team and everyone sees every message. We want to be able to really be specific with the types of chats that we're having. And there's also private chats that go on as well between individuals, or if I'm talking about an operational thing that's not relevant to the rest of the team, it allows us to have those sort of privacy type things as well. So Slack is the tool that we use as a team for all of that type of thing. It has lots of different integrations with other things as well. So you can integrate it with Google documents and that type of thing as well. So you can be sharing documents in there. Other communication tools that I use, Gmail. It's probably the app that I use the most on my phone. I know there are plenty of other email providing tools out there, but I find the native Gmail one really does it well for me. And I guess the other apps that I'm using for communications would be Facebook Messenger. I don't do a lot on there these days. It's not so much for internal team communications, but it is a useful tool from time to time to be chatting with other people or readers from time to time as well. And I find most people have a Messenger account or a Facebook account. I do from time to time also use the native message app and phone app on my phone as well. But interestingly, don't really use my phone app a whole heap these days on my phone. I use my phone for other things these days, as I guess most of us do. I much prefer to talk via text, if truth be told. Okay, a couple of other apps that I use in my business would be Google Chrome. It's the browser that I use across all my devices. Again, I love how it increasingly is allowing what I do on one device to be seen on another device. So if I bookmark things, save passwords, those types of things that can work across the different devices. Seeing history from one device to another is also great as well. So I tend to use Chrome across all those devices. Safari would be my backup one. Occasionally, I do need to jump into Safari if something's not rendering right on Chrome or if I'm having issues on Chrome. And then the last app that I will use every day is my podcast app. And again, I know there are plenty of great podcasting apps out there, but I tend to use the native podcast app that Apple gives us as well. And that's partly because that's what I started out using and everything's already in there and that's already set up. But I find that it's pretty intuitive to use as well, and I don't really have any problems with that. It's something I use every day. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
So they're the main apps that I use. Now, in the Facebook group, I did ask the question, what apps do our community use? And I found it really interesting. I actually created a bit of a word cloud of all the different things that people said. There must have been 60 or 70 people suggest 4 or 5 apps each. And so there was a lot of apps mentioned. Created a word cloud, and it was interesting to look at the most mentioned words and the most mentioned apps. So number one on the list was Instagram, which I was kind of surprised about. I thought Facebook maybe or Gmail or that type of thing, but Instagram definitely was number one. And I was really surprised that Twitter was number two. A lot of people talking about how Twitter's kind of, people are moving away from it, but it does look like a lot of people are still using the Twitter app as well. And interestingly that enough that they are the native apps as well. And so whilst there's plenty of other tools out there that are available for people, they are certainly the most common apps that were mentioned. Number three on the list was Evernote. So it does seem that a lot of people are persisting with that particular app, and I would be too if I was just on a couple of devices and getting the free version, and I may end up going back to that. Pinterest was number four, Google Analytics was number five, and Buffer was number six. And Buffer does allow you to do some social sharing and scheduling as well. So a great tool, and one that I have used over the years as well. But I guess now that we do use CoSchedule for our social sharing, we haven't had a need for that. There were a few other apps that were mentioned in the group as well that I do want to touch on. Trello was one that a number of people mentioned. Trello is a great tool. It's not just an app, it's actually a project management system, I guess, and we've used it in our business in the past to manage some of our bigger projects. For example, when we were doing our redesign of ProBlogger and Digital Photography School, we set up Trello boards. It's a difficult one to explain without you actually seeing it, but I do encourage you to go and have a look at Trello if you haven't heard it before. It is great for managing projects amongst your team, but I know a lot of bloggers do use it individually as well because it can be really useful in brainstorming and setting up systems for yourself, setting up to-do lists. I know a lot of our readers use Trello for to-do lists, for planning, for brainstorming. It's a very visual tool. It allows you to set up lists, but then to move things around. Do check it out. I think it's well worth looking at, and it has apps for different devices as well. two tools that people used mentioned in the group for scheduling on social media, particularly on Instagram and Pinterest for one of them, is the tools I mentioned earlier, Later. Later allows you to schedule to Instagram, and Tailwind allows you to schedule, I think, to Pinterest and Instagram, maybe some other social networks as well. A couple of others that people mentioned, Google Keep is an alternative to a note-taking app. It allows you to keep notes and lists and to-do lists, and also add in, I think you can add in images and those types of things as well. Pocket is another one that quite a few people mentioned in the group. It allows you to save articles or videos to view later, which is quite useful if you're consuming a lot of content. Two tools that people mentioned to create social graphics, WordSwag and Typorama. I have used both of them and they've worked really well, particularly if you want to do something more of a text overlay type social graphic. I would use those over Adobe Spark. Adobe Spark for me is better for simple text overlays, but also for collages. I use Adobe Spark more for the collages, and then something like WordSwag or Typorama are really good for if it's a more font-rich experience, social graphic that you're trying to create. Dropbox is another one that quite a few people mentioned. We use Dropbox as well in our team, although I don't tend to use it on my phone a lot unless it's an emergency. If I'm on the road and really need to access a document or something, I would use that app, but it's not something I'm using every day. And then lastly, quite a number of people mentioned Asana. And Asana is, I guess, an alternative to Slack in many ways. It's a project management team communications kind of tool. And I guess we haven't used it because we have invested ourselves into Slack, but it does look like a really great tool as well. So they're the tools that I use, the tools that were most mentioned when I asked our community and our Facebook group, but I would love to hear what you use. What's the top tool, that the top app that you use on your phone, your tablet, whether that be an Apple device or whether that be an Android or something else? I'd love to hear what you use. Head over to the Facebook group, and I will link in our show notes today to a discussion that we're having in the Facebook group at the moment on this particular topic. You can find today's show notes over at problogger.com/podcast/207, where I link to all the apps that I mentioned today, and I'll link into the Facebook group as well. Lastly, I just want to let you know that next week's episode is going to be a great one. I'm really looking forward to presenting it to you. I've got Rachel Miller, who is brilliant at Facebook, coming on to the show to talk about how to increase your organic reach in Facebook. So if you're listening to this and this episode's just come out, do look out for that one next week. If you are listening to this after it's already been released, you may even find the next episode's there waiting to listen to as well. It's episode 208, which will be coming out in a week's time from today. Head over to the Facebook group, join the group if you're not already in there. There's over 8,500 people in there at the moment. Daily discussions going on where we're sharing our challenges, our tips, and asking questions as well. Look forward to chatting with you there. Hope you found today's show useful, and I'll chat with you next week where we're talking about Facebook.
You've been listening to Pro Blogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
This episode of the ProBlogger podcast was edited by the team at Podcast Motor, who offer a great range of services, including helping you to set up and launch your podcast, as well as ongoing editing and production of the podcast that you produce. You can check them out at podcastmotor.com.